If you're listening via Spotify, I invite you to follow Sir Kevin Says. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can show your support by subscribing and rating the show 5 stars. Alternatively, you can watch the video version of this and every other episode on my YouTube channel, Kevin Michael Chong, or visit my website, www.sirkevinchong.com, and view or listen to them that way. What do you get when you cross a Salvadorian and an Indonesian?
What do I get?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yakub Saputra.
Oh.
Yeah. What's up, baby?
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 41 of Sir Kevin Says. Today we have Yakub Saputra, a.k.a. Kubistra Music in the house.
Sir. Yes, sir.
How are you, bro?
Thank you very much. I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
All is well?
All is well.
What's going on, man? Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you for inviting me.
A couple months ago, we did your show.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Jam Talk, right?
Jam Talk.
That was a lot of fun, man.
Yes, yes.
How's everything going?
Everything's good. Not much happening since then, but I'm just keep working on my YouTube video and I'm keep writing for music libraries and all. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. For those that don't know, Yakub is a composer, pianist, and music educator. He has had his music placed on the TV show The Affair and Paul Dark, as well as Netflix, PBS, and BBC.
Yes, sir.
Pretty major stuff, man. How did you get your music placed on those shows and the networks?
Yeah, so actually I'm writing for, most predominantly right now, for two companies. It's Empath.
Okay.
It's by my mentor, Michael Levine. He created a new music library called Empath.
Uh-huh.
And then those are the ones that pitching to all this shows.
Okay.
But also our music, Empath Music, is also distributed by APM Music in America, in the US, and also by Emmy Music in worldwide.
Oh,
all,
man.
All over the world.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
So, yeah. And then that's the first company that I work with. And then the second company that I work with also with Alphany Tunes.
Okay.
So that was a little bit geared towards Latin music.
Mm.
They're specialized in Latin music, but I pitch in some of the songs that, which is actually only a piano and a violin album.
Yeah.
That's the first album that I make for them.
Wow.
Yeah. And hopefully in the future, there's going to be a Kubistra Music Library.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. I know you're building up your portfolio.
Yes.
You have been for many years now.
Yeah.
Before we get into anything, man, I want to bring up this memory because it's always funny to me.
Sure.
The first time we met, I introduced myself. Obviously, we were at music school, CSCM. And I went up to you and said, hey, what's up, man? My name's Kevin. And I'm like, what's your name? You're like, Yakub. I'm like, where are you from? And you're like, oh, I'm from El Salvador.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know. Quite honestly, I don't know. It's just like, maybe. I couldn't even… I don't know where El Salvador come from.
Yeah.
I just saw somebody that was come from El Salvador. And I just said like, I'm from
well,
El
Salvador. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Cuba.
Yes. Everybody believes that. You definitely got the accent.
Right. Am I?
Yeah.
Do I have the accent? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm from Indonesia.
Uh-huh.
It's a huge country.
Yeah.
We are the fourth most populated country in the world.
Wow.
We have 17,000 islands.
17,000?
Thousands islands, yes.
Wow.
Yep.
There's I didn't know that.
A lot of islands right there. We have 5 major islands, but there's a lot of little islands, which is not so little actually.
Yeah.
But we are consists of 17,000 islands.
Man, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And how did you get into music?
Well, my dad is a music teacher for a school for basically from elementary all the way to high school. He taught in that school for I don't know how many years, but I believe it's more than 15 years, I think.
Man.
And he already retired now, but he taught me how to play music.
Wow.
He is actually mostly self-taught. So he taught me to play by ear, basically, in the beginning. So what he does is, in the beginning, my mom is a singer. My mom sings at a church and my dad plays music, plays keyboard. So he started by introducing me to church music.
Yeah.
So there's a time that he taught me like this Christian song my mom would sing, I would play, and that's how I started my musical journey. After that point, my dad taught me, but not really taught me in a way that there's like no one session that he sit with me every week.
Yeah.
It's mostly like I play something and then he showed me, oh, try this, try that, try this and try that. And at some point, he actually, it's like a dare game, you know. He has like a classical music and he asked me like, okay, play that, you know. So I remember like when I was super young, like I couldn't even remember the name of the teacher. But I have like 1 month or 2 months piano lessons. But that's it. Mm. And I couldn't even remember the name of the teacher. I couldn't remember anything about that. But what I remember growing up, I'm studying with him in such an informal way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
My dad is very… he knows my personality. I like to be challenged. I don't like to be told what to do.
So that's good, man.
It seems like when he tried to sit with me with a dedicated session, so to speak… I would just like, oh, no, I think I can do better. No, he knows me better. So he challenged me by, okay, finish this. If you finish this, you got $10, like in Indonesian money.
Wow.
You know, like, okay, I'll do it. And at some point, he running out of money. Yeah, so that's how I started. And I start playing at church. I play at school. Mm-hmm. And up to a point that my dad knows that I need a better education. So he brought me to music teachers that, you know… classical trained music teachers, and I studied with them. And from then on, I just keep growing, and I've started to taught myself how to play jazz from YouTube most of the time.
Nice.
And I had like one guy. His name is Aminuto Kosin. He became my jazz teacher for like a year, all over a year. And then I studied conducting because when I was in high school, I built my own orchestra with my high school friends.
Man.
And then I learned how to write music. The first time is for that orchestra. With
how
no
old
training.
Were you?
I was 15 at that
Man,
time.
Man, bro.
15 at the time. And yeah, I'm a person who if there's no orchestra… Well, I really want to have an orchestra. You know, I watch YouTube at the time like, oh my goodness, I want to be in an orchestra. I want to play for an orchestra. I want to write for an orchestra. But there's no orchestra in my high school. So I said like, okay, I know some people who can play orchestral instruments… violin and all that stuff. And then, okay, I'll put it together. And at the time I was in a student committee, we have like an Easter event. And I said that, okay, I'm going to be the head, the coordinator of the event. So who's the musicians? Okay, we're going to have an orchestra for the first time. All right. And that's the first orchestra that I built. And from then on, the orchestra grew. The orchestra grew. We have like 3 years growing. And then after I graduated from that school… Actually, before I graduated from that school… I started getting paid for teaching that orchestra sessions. Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome, man. And then how did you make your way to LA?
In the beginning, I was not about to go to LA. I was actually planning to go to Germany.
Okay.
I was planning to go to Germany because I thought that… I don't know. I just have some little fascinations about Germany for some reason. I took a German lesson… when I was in high school, because I want to go to Germany. But I applied there and I didn't get accepted to like one jazz school over there. It's called Jazz Institute Berlin. Okay. I didn't get accepted there. So at that time, I also applied to American school, which is… I'm not going to mention the school, but it's a very small school. There is no really reputations for music in there. But it devastated me that I didn't get to both school. In Berlin, it's like one of the prestigious school in Germany.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one is no reputation school. And I didn't get both, you know.
Man.
And then the reason why I didn't get the other one was my Mandarin score was so low at the time. apparently check everything.
Oh,
and it was in the middle
gosh.
Of nowhere too. The school of the middle of nowhere. But, you know, like I was so devastated at the time. I was like, okay, I'll get into whatever school where I can get a scholarship from.
Yeah.
Then for the next semesters, I applied to 3 different schools. I was applied to Minnesota, Kansas City, and then also University of Houston. Then I went to University of Houston. But in 1 year, what happened was I came there by fate alone. Mm. I don't have no money. I know that my dad will not have enough money for me to go to America. So I just have a leap of faith. I got $1,200 in my bank account collectively from my dad, from my mom, and from myself. And I come to America with only $1,200, knowing that I cannot pay for the first semesters. So I let it happen.
Man.
When I got here, I told God, I was praying at that time. I was like, Lord God, if you're going to bring me to America, you have to feed me. You have to fund me. And I believe a miracle so much. Yeah. And I said, I was kind of daring God. Like, no, I don't want a logic. I don't want nothing. I don't want input from anybody. It was cocky at the time. In retrospect, I thought that I could have planned it better. But at the time, I was just so young. And I was just believing God so much that I would throw away. It's like a blind faith at the time. But I think God rewarded me anyway. So at that time, I met somebody that actually funded the whole first semester. For the second semester, it's just a new game. And what happened is people took like 4 years to have their recital. I do it in my second semesters. And that's already an orchestral recital.
Man.
In orchestra, yeah. The orchestra actually, the video is actually on my YouTube also. So those, because I need the funding from somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I believe that if God would give me free money from somewhere, I have to do something like very extraordinary. But the second semester, people that I invited that I want to be my next donor, so to speak, they couldn't make it. And the second semester, I don't have no money at all. Like no money at all. I quit the school. I cannot pay for the next semester.
Right, right.
And at that time, I just learned my mom also got cancer.
Oh, man.
Late stage cancer. I didn't know at the time. But I thought to myself like, okay, this is the time that I supposed to told my dad. Right? Because I really doesn't have money. So I thought like, okay, I'm probably going to go to my dad and say that I'm in trouble. I'm sorry about that. But at that time, I decided that this is not a good time. My mom just got cancer. So this is not a good time to say anything. So I just lied my way to them. Like I didn't go do anything. I went to deep depression. Deep depressions. And then after that, 6 months later, I go to LA with a pastor of a pastor friends of mine. And I lived with them for a little bit. I play in the church. And then fast forward to 2013, I want to play. I already buried my musical dream. I want to be an accountant at that time. Because it's just a stable. I know numbers. Yeah. I like numbers. I like money. So I thought that it will. Okay. But at that time, I was just like, it just tickles me. I want to play music again, just for fun. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I emailed Otmar Ruiz and I would say that, hey, I want to study with you. And that's the time that he introduced me to that school. And he said, you should audition for this because they're giving away scholarships. And I tried that.
And that's
the rest is history. Yeah,
yeah, man. I remember every time we'd pass by the practice room, man, you had your McDonald's coffee.
Yes.
Hopefully it was coffee, but…
Well, a little bit of… Oh, and tonic.
Bro, yeah, you would practice a lot, man. That's something that I, you know, from the very beginning, I saw your commitment and your discipline, you know, to music and how serious it was for you to really accomplish. Mm-hmm. At least one of your immediate goals was to you know, finish school, get your education, you know, and do something with that, man. Mm-hmm. And now it's been, what, over four…
6 years.
6 years, that's right. Because I graduated in 2017.
Yeah. No. So that means it's only like 3 years, 4 years.
Well, I started in 2014.
I'm started in 2014 too, but I'm in… No, I started in 2014.
Yeah. So we've known each other that long. Yeah. 6 years.
Yeah. 6 years.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
7 years.
Wow. And getting your education, man, studying with Armado and these great musicians that were at the school, how do you feel that helped your career?
Oh, tremendously. Tremendously. That's the school that introduced me… Well, when I was in the University of Houston, it was a brief period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned more than the school offered me. So I know most of the things that I already know. But in Shepherd University, I learned something that I completely didn't have any clue about. For example, the first time we met in a ensemble class.
Yeah, yeah. GPWs, right?
GPWs, which is we play salsa.
Yeah.
I have no clue about Montuno. I have no clue that there is a thing that a music… That the bass doesn't play on the downbeat.
Right. It's on the end of four or end of two. Right, right.
I have no clue on that. And Otmar is just an amazing teacher. He's not only amazing musicians. Well, the thing is, I know about Otmar from YouTube.
Wow.
When I was in Houston, I said like, if I ever go to LA, I want to see him in person. I want to be friend with him. And sure enough, I become a friend with him.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and yeah. And so he taught me a lot of stuff that, you know… His mind is so out there. Like he has so much knowledge that he kind of formulate out of, you know, thin air.
Mm-hmm.
But he always trying to show like the basic first. And that's what I love about that. So he didn't let me just branch out without the right foundation. So he gave me like a great foundations. And everything he things that he taught me, I still practice it today. And I don't think I can graduate if the level of graduation is to be able to do whatever he told me to do at that time. Yeah, it's still
He's amazing, man. Yeah. He's amazing. You were under his mentorship for what, 3 years or so? Three, four years?
Almost 4 years. Three and a half years.
And you guys still keep in touch and talk?
Yeah, I still keep in touch.
Still reach out and ask him for advice and all that stuff?
Yeah. We help each other every now and then, you know. And sometimes he invited me to his place for Thanksgiving. It's nice. I love I love Cotbaro and Kachina. Yeah. Shout out to them.
She's Brazilian, right?
Yeah, she's Brazilian.
Nice, man. I don't know if you've had Kubisha music for as long as I think you've had. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it seems like it's only been like a couple of years, mm-hmm. but you probably have had your company longer than that, mm-hmm. right? How did that? What's the name about, or what does it mean?
Okay, so when is it started? Well, it's if I want to say that when it started, it's just an idea. It started from an idea. It's incorporated last year. Just incorporated last year.
Okay,
but Kubistra, basically Yakub Emmanuel Saputra. That's my name.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's just my name, and I just kept that name because lack of a better term, you know, lack of a better name, I guess. So I just kept that and. But the thing is, I've been always using my own name to present myself. But I want to have something that a little bit more organized in a way.
Okay.
And I want to have something that is more formal, I guess. So, putting my own name, Yakub Saputra Incorporated, maybe it's not the best way. So, it's Kubistra Music. It's easy to say. Maybe.
Yeah.
And it's just a little more catchy to my taste.
Who knows,
right?
And you're working on your branding, man. I see that you came out with some mugs, some jackets here. Right here. Like, so you want to come out with some hoodies.
Yeah.
Where did that inspiration come from that you want to really work on this and push your brand?
Mm-hmm. To be honest, that's not my main goal. You know, that's a side. You know, like every musicians, like after they have like a good presentations with their music and all, people want to buy their merchandise. So I'm preparing for that. Yeah, I just want to create something that probably it could be a side money for me, but also can benefit others. You know, we're coming with some great new designs that, you know, a little bit more inspirational. You know, where you can wear it, it's gorgeous looking,
mm-hmm.
but it can also reminds you to be, you know, to not limit yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
So that's where it comes from. But the branding side, you know, like it's just I'm just learning. You know, in the last couple of years. Pandemic really make me… It's a wake-up call for everybody. For a lot of people.
Of course.
I want to do YouTube for… As far as I can remember. But I postpone it because, you know… Like, you know… I want to be the real deal.
Yeah.
You know? I want to be… You know… I don't want people to know what's my secret or… I want to just do my craft. I just want to be good at my craft. But at the end of the day, I realized that… A lot of people who are already good at their craft… And those who are starting out… They always lose with people who already have their online presence.
Hmm.
So I feel like I have to have an online presence somehow.
Yeah.
So it's for me, 2020 just give me a wake up call, but also give me times. You know, suddenly the commute is gone. You know, most of the commute is gone. I have so much ample time that I can start buying stuff and experimenting with. And I bought the gear since the end of 2019, knowing that I'm going to start doing that. But the real push happens in the pandemic time, the 2020.
Yeah.
So from then on, I'm just start doing all these things, the YouTube. And it comes with territory from branding, you know, marketing, analytics, and all that time, all the things. You have to start learning that too. So, and to bring more income stream into your brand or into your music. Because, you know, we are musicians. We love to play music. But that's not the whole equation, you know?
Yeah.
We still have to support ourselves from day to day, from month to month, and year to year. You know, you have to have you have to financially solvent to be able to do your music. Otherwise, if you're really, really out of money, there's no other way to play music anymore other than working a real job, which is not a bad thing, you know? But if you want to dedicate your time with music, you have to kind of balance out with whatever you have financially. Yeah.
I think we were talking about this yesterday at church, man. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I brought up to you was the fact that like how inspired I was by a friend of mine named AJ Raphael.
Yeah.
He's a YouTuber. He's had his channel for over 14 years. And just this year, man, he finally hit 1 million subscribers.
Right.
I think that just shows how much commitment, right. dedication, right. perseverance. You know, I'm sure he's had his moments where he's like, oh man, like…
Doesn't feel like doing it.
Doesn't feel like doing it. It's hard work, yeah. editing, you yeah. know. Else. But the reward is great, man, when you have people that ultimately will support you,
yeah.
you know, and say that they really value your work and yeah. the stuff yeah. that you have putting out. Yeah. Your YouTube channel represents that, right? You're teaching music. You're mm-hmm. teaching elements of music, mm-hmm. music theory. Like, now that you have your YouTube channel and you have that going on, what do you think your ultimate goal with that is? If in 10 years mm-hmm. your thing blew up, what would you want that to be?
I want to have like a music education platform. You know, I believe in music educations.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in, you know, creating the best way possible, the easiest way possible to teach music.
Yeah.
Because I've seen like a lot of school fails to instill joy, funness into music education.
Yeah.
We went to the same school, so we know like how dreadful it is for something… For you to learn, you know, yeah. it's not supposed to be that way.
Right.
I have that joy every single day. Why is not transferable? So that I'm committed to, my commitment is to make sure that people knows that music is so fun.
Yeah.
People wants to be played. Everybody wants the end goal, which is playing as great as possible.
Yeah.
But the journey, people dread, you know. So I want to make sure that the dread could be more enjoyable. And how is it? It's by making things that supposedly complex, make it a little bit more approachable and sure. fun. Yeah. Present it in a fun way. That's my goal, which is probably a little bit too ambitious, I think, to make. Because a lot of musical concept is very complex if you wanna talk about it in a real sense. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you give enough channel for people to come in and learn music, and look at the whole spectrum of music, it's gonna inspire them to discover more
yeah.
on their own time,
right?
Without needing, you know, a lot of graphics and all that things.
Yeah.
But I want in 10 years, I want to have a music education's based
yeah.
that also can promote my music.
That's good.
That can also promote other people's music.
Yeah.
Because I want. I really want to have like a my own music library that people can come in and I can help them pitching into labels or pitching into shows, different TV shows. And that's going to help not only me, because if I'm trying to make my own library, I'm the only one person. There's only so much music I can make in a week. But if I have an aggregate of people who are very talented, who doesn't know any channel, they can give the music to me. I'll pitch in together with my music also and may the best wins.
Yeah, and send that out. Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. good, man. When it comes to music education, what do you think the school lacks in teaching? When I'm asking that, do you think that a part of that has to do with not teaching numbers, taxes, saving your money, elements of music that a lot of people don't talk to, because they talk to you about your performance. You're going to be in studio. You're going to be performing, playing in front of these audiences. But how are you going to get there? Eventually, when you're making money, saving your money, spending your money. Talk to us a little bit about that and how important that is.
This is a problem. It's an education system as a whole. I don't want to blame it to music school too, because you go to like a design school. They don't talk about money too. They don't talk about taxes too. You go to medical school, they only talk about the medicine, because that's the only time that they have. It's a education system failure as a whole, which it's going to be a different topic. But I would say this, we cannot blame the music school, and I don't want to blame the music school for not giving that to us. Because what can they do? Do a seminar, maybe? Put it into a grading system? How is it supposed to be? But what I think is important is for us, every one of us, doesn't matter if you're musicians or non-musicians, designer, any kind of artist, especially artists, we have to self-educate.
Yeah.
We have to self-educate.
Yeah.
You know, there's five things that we have to learn continuously. Our craft, your drums, your timbales, your crazy gospel chop, whatever it is, your craft that makes you who you are.
Right.
And as a professional, people knows you as that person.
Yeah.
That's the craft that you have to learn. The second thing, you have to learn finance. There's no way you cannot abandon finance. You want to be the best successful musician? Be my guest. But how do you retain your money is the way you ensure that you can play drums the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Otherwise, if you go bankrupt, you will have to stop playing drums to keep yourself afloat financially.
Right.
You're going to have to work somewhere else. And that, whatever job that you're going to do, it's going to stop you from doing your craft.
Yeah.
Third thing is you have to learn about your body, your health. Mm. I'm saying this in not the most pretentious way possible because I believe that I have a lot to work on my body, you know, like my physical health with my diets and all that things. If you're sick, you cannot do your craft, you cannot fix your finance.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that you have to do. The fourth thing is your psychology. You have to maintain your mental health because I was in my prime physical conditions when I went into depressions because of my mom passing. And I can tell you that it was not funny at all. Mm. I slept 18 hours a day.
Wow.
Yeah, when I woke up, I don't have no energy to do anything. And all the knowledge that I have just go to waste. Mm. You know, I cannot even put myself together. So learn about mental health of your own self, your psychology, your opening, your other people psychology, how to influence you, how to get you to like me, or how to get you to persuade you to do things that I need you to do.
Right.
Leadership, that's all things. And the fifth thing is for some people it's spiritual, you know.
Yeah.
That's the five things that I need that everybody has to self-educate nonstop. So if you lack of one of them, you're going to be a little bit in a weird position. Mm-hmm. Because the school teach about tax, the tax changing every year. Hmm. You know, the tax changing every year and the deductions that we talked about earlier briefly. The interest of your business can be also deducted as a business income, business deductions. Something that probably in the next 10 years might be not happening.
Right.
Did you know that this year, starting this year, if you bought something from the restaurant for business, it could be deducted 100%, not even 50%.
Wow.
Last year, it was 50%. This year and 2022 will be 100%.
Wow.
It's a deduction that you eat for free if it's a business deductions. And also, it's from the restaurant. You order from the restaurant because they want to stimulate the restaurant business.
Yeah.
Those things cannot come in one sessions or one semester. Right. You know, that has to be something that you're ongoing. Today we know about health a certain way. Next year we know some people say the keto diets is good. Some people say it's bad. It's ongoing process.
Yeah.
You know, it's ongoing process. If you only rely on school to teach you that, and then if you disappointed that the school didn't teach that, you'll be forever at the disadvantage.
Yeah. That's good, man. That's great.
Yeah.
What continues to inspire you to do music?
What inspires me is that's a very scary question, actually. Because in a way that supposedly what inspires me is supposedly the music itself. But I have my different why. I want to provide for my family. That's my first why. So everything that I do, I have to put against that first. Will that provide for my family? Will that help me to become more financially stable and provide for my family or not? Because at some point, I want to have like a full-time internship, but I know that the money is not going to be enough to supporting myself, let alone my family. So I decided, okay, that's not the best possible outcome. But that's not supposed to be a pessimistic outlook because your why is the strongest things that you have. You see? And then I believe that stimulates me to do all this stuff that I wouldn't have even done.
Right.
Had I was not in that situation.
Yeah.
So what inspires me the most is first my family. Second, I want to have a great music that represent my country, which is El Salvador. That's good. Yeah. I forgot I was supposed to be serious. I want to create music that represent Indonesia.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. If you listen to my music, some of them always have a little bit of Indonesian textures in there, whether it is in the pelok or selendro scale in there. And I always try to like put it in there or in the rhythm, and people doesn't know it. And hopefully people ask me for that so I can introduce to that.
What are the elements that you're talking about?
There's a scale, the do, ra, me, sol, le, sol, me, re, do. And there's also do, mi, fa, sol, ti, do, ti, sol, mi, sol, fa, mi, do. That's The most recognizable
elements of Indonesian
elements
music.
But there's so much more. And there's in the rhythm. I'm fascinated by the Papuan rhythm. It's the most east part of Indonesia that's of, you know, like drum beating, like a war drum beat, you know, type of music. Sure. And also like Balinese music, a little bit more fast paced gamelan, you know.
Wow.
That was fascinating.
That's amazing, man.
So I want to incorporate that to that kind of music into my work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can introduce it more to the world. That's my two biggest things that inspires me.
You talked a little bit about your mom passing away from cancer. Both you and I share that same, you know, journey together.
Yeah.
How important has faith been to your journey? How has it helped you?
One thing, I wouldn't even be in America if I don't have a relationship with God. The reason why is I think there's a lot of series of miracles. Whether you believe it or not, that's not my problem. But I believe that's the reason why I'm in America at all is because of God. I want to go to America so bad that I was. This is the way I pray. After I get rejected the first time, right?
Yeah.
I walk like almost 3 miles, go back and forth just to pray. Walk by foot, about 3 miles in my area. Like it takes me like about 3 hours to do the whole lap just to pray. And as I pray, God, every step that I step will be given to me. And I believe in you. And I have Isaiah 43. I cannot recite it in English, but I recite it in Indonesia like every single day. And it's been central in my life. But there's a moment in my life that I am a Thomas, you know. You know, I always do everything with my brain. And I don't know if it's right or wrong, but that's the way I am.
Yeah.
And if God give me this kind of brain to analyze everything in the most cognitive way, I believe God will help me through my faith too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Thomas in the way that, you know, I will believe until I cannot believe anymore. There's a lot of things that doesn't make sense to me, and I dare it to God. God, if it's real, you prove it to me. And God's continually doing so. It will be a longer a podcast if I told every single thing that God has done in my life. But there is a moment, there is a very critical moment that I stopped believing in God. And I'm like, God, it could have been just in my head, you know, because the historical element of faith, Christianity, was not so pretty either.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, you know, I don't want to go through the theological conflict that I have because I don't want to convert anybody against Christianity. But this is what I would say. We don't understand God.
Yeah.
We can only feel that God loves us and we can only love Him as much as He let us love Him, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'm a Thomas. The reason why I say I'm a Thomas because I want God to prove me every single time. People always say that God said that, you know, it's how to say it. I can't say it in Indonesia. Berbahagialah mereka yang tidak melihat namun percaya juga. Means, blessed be those who didn't see but believe. People say that if you don't see but you believe it, that means your faith is cool.
Yeah.
But there's one thing that they forgot. Thomas get to touch his wound. You know, Thomas got to experience the proof that he needs.
Yeah.
So I'm a evolving Christian. I want to know him better every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not far from perfect. Far from perfect. And I let people, I don't mind people judge me in whatever way they want.
Yeah.
But for what I know, God is real. And I wouldn't be here at all if not because of him.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
No, that's good, man. The typical way of looking at things that we can't see in person. Mm-hmm. Like if you're very much a scientific type of mind where you need to have something proven to you, you know, in order for the hypothesis to be proven correct, it has to be factual.
Right.
You know, so a lot of it is I need to be able to see it to believe it.
Right.
You know,
right.
And in our terms, when it comes to Christian faith is we have to be able to believe it to see
despite
it.
Despite not believing it.
Exactly. You know,
yeah.
Those are strong elements to know, you know, especially in the Christian faith and in the journey that we have. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you, man? Your social media. I know you have a lot going on. Where can people find you?
Well, you can go to my Instagram at Saputra Yakub. And also you can go to my YouTube video also by the name of Kubistra Music. Mm-hmm. And I have a website that you can go to, kubistramusic.com, and hit me up there. You know, let's link up and tell me what you want to see more. You know, I'm starting. I have no better knowledge of how to grow these things. So it inspires me.
Yeah. Before I forget, man, these are two questions I always ask everybody, and I don't want to forget to ask you this either. Mm-hmm. You've been to a podcast with me with Husar Mario.
Yes.
And I asked him and many others what value means to them. What does that mean to you?
Value means something that people need. That's one thing mm-hmm. that you can give. That means if somebody cannot, simple way, if somebody need a ride and you have a ride, then you give value to them. It could be anything. So that means giving of value means something that people need. If you create something that people don't need, I'm sorry to say, despite all your effort, it's not a value for them mm-hmm. or for anybody in that sense. But if you can find something that people need and you can provide that, you give value to people.
Yeah.
You know, whether it is to, you know, give an introduction to a person that they might need to know, or give a lead to a gig that they might will be appreciate, or connecting two people who needs each other but doesn't know each other
yeah.
yet. You know,
yeah.
That's value. And value can be also calling somebody up. You'd say it in the jam talk, you know, call somebody else, just say hi to them because they're probably so lonely. Actually, you don't know how much value that you gave to me. I could tell you, I'm talking about Kevin.
Okay.
You taught me, you are the one that makes, that inspires me to listen to audiobooks. Because in 2014, before the school collapsed, you came, I met you in the parking lot. In the, what is that next parking lot? What?
Goodwill
parking lot.
Yeah.
And you told me that you were listening to Bible
yeah.
on your commute. And that's inspired me. At that time, I heard about that, but I was like, oh, that was a very good idea to listen to audiobook. You didn't know that by doing the best you can do, you give value to people.
Wow, man.
That might observe you a little bit here and a little bit of there.
Yeah.
So do your best in whatever you do. Make yourself the best you can do
yeah.
in your own term. And by sharing it with people, even though you don't know that you shared that to me.
Wow. Yeah.
You gave value to me without yeah. you knowing that.
I'm constantly reminded, man, of how important first impressions are.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't even yeah. know that. You're barely revealing that to me now. And it's yeah. been, what, 6 years?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
thank you, man, for sharing that.
Yeah.
One more for you before mm-hmm. you go. What advice do you have for people that are getting into the industry?
There's no excuse. So don't blame your where you come from. Don't blame where… you're going to learn that things, because if you don't learn, if you cannot learn from YouTube, nobody can teach you anything. Honestly, like a lot of people ask me like, hey, Yakub, where can I find this? I learned from YouTube, you know, like
yeah.
literally like there's no lack of knowledge. If you can have access to YouTube, you can learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you really determined to do something, you find a way. And yeah. that, I say it to be true. And that's why I want to contribute back to YouTube, because it teach me a lot. Arguably, you can do open heart surgery for learning from YouTube.
Don't try
that without any credentials. But you can learn the basics of it. But honestly, like so much information from YouTube, you can learn yeah. from anything. There's one blind guy that magicians go to Penn and Teller show. Do you know Penn and Teller show?
Mm-mm.
He like Fool Me. It's the show called Fool Me.
Okay.
So they trying to do magic, hoping that Penn and Teller, a great magician, wouldn't be able to guess what was it. And there's this blind guy. His name is Richard Turner. He said that he's blind and he do card magic like nobody would believe. And one thing that he struck me a lot. The biggest disability is the worst disability is procrastination and laziness.
Hmm.
You know, and those two things happens to me a lot and I have to overcome it. And that's also that happens to a lot of creative people.
Yeah.
So overcome yourself and start from there.
Yeah.
Don't think about too far. Just start
yeah.
where you can start.
Baby steps. Yeah,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, Yakub, thank you so much for coming through.
Thanks for
man.
Having me.
This is a lot of fun, man. I'll see
yes.
you at church
sure.
on Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
Now, everybody, it's Yakub Zapucho.
Thank you very much.
Kubistra Music. Make sure you check it out on YouTube, Instagram, all the major social channels that he has on there. Thank you guys for watching episode 41 of Sir Kevin Says, and see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.